This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled last week that the Trump administration cannot immediately end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, more commonly known as DACA. The Obama-era program protects 700,000 young immigrants who were brought to the United States as children from deportation. The program gives qualified children temporary legal status if they graduate from high school, are honorably discharged from the military, and if they pass a background check. In 2017, the Trump administration declared the program was over, only to be blocked by lower courts and now the Supreme Court. Chief Justice John Roberts sided with the four liberals on the court in a 5-4 vote last week. But the decision does not mean the fight over DACA is done. For a more in-depth look at the decision, WUWM's Angelina Mosher Salazar spoke with Laura Fernandez, an immigration attorney in Milwaukee.
You mentioned that this decision was long awaited. Can you just give us a little bit of context, like how long has this decision been anticipated?
We've been expecting this decision since November 2019, which is when the actual arguments were in front of the Supreme Court. So, and it's pretty typical that major decisions from the Supreme Court's drop in June. So everyone was expecting this decision not to come until June. And, it, you know, for the last few weeks, it's like, is it going to be Monday? Is it going to be Thursday? Is it going to be next Monday? Is it going to be? So this is typical of people wait, you know, this is normal that we're expecting these things, big decisions in June.
Let's talk about the actual decision itself. I think that there was a lot of hype or maybe misunderstanding that this is the Supreme Court saving DACA, defending DACA. DACA is safe now. Please distill what is the decision that came down.
Okay, so this is not a decision about the legality of DACA. It is not a decision saying that the program was properly put into place or is legal or anything like that. This decision is really about the five justices in the majority finding that the government did not properly rescind the program because they didn't provide a basis that they found sufficient or detailed enough or properly stated, and essentially that leads them to find that the termination of the program was arbitrary and capricious.
When you first read this, what was your reaction?
My first reaction was to be completely surprised and want to fall out of my chair that it was happening, and second, that the person who wrote the majority decision was Justice Roberts, because frankly, we did not expect this to be a positive decision. We really expected this to be a negative decision, just because the expectation was that Roberts and the other four conservative justices were going to basically say that there was nothing wrong with Trump's ending of the program. But then, you know, reading through it, it's boring. It's about rulemaking cases. It's about this Administrative Procedures Act. It's, for me, it's sort of a bad flashback to law school and things that I don't have to deal with in my daily life because I do immigration law and it's very different kind of law.
What is the reaction of the Trump administration?
You know, immigration matters go through are operated through the Department of Homeland Security and more specifically an agency called U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS. And that's who, as an immigration lawyer, that's who we're, you know, dealing with and submitting applications to and whatnot. So, I mean, they actually issued a statement yesterday that basically says that, well, I can read it. The Supreme Court's decision is an affront to the rule of law and give presidents power to extend discretionary policies into future administrations. No justice will say that the DACA program is lawful, and that should be reason enough to end it. And this is posted on the USCIS website. And yeah, it's just straight up says that they did not like this decision. You know, people submit applications to obtain immigration benefits from this agency. It is not a political organization, and it is very unusual for them to post this sort of straight up opinion statement on their website. At least I find it very surprising.
Laura, I know this is like nitty-gritty stuff, getting really in the weeds, but I did want to ask you, because I know you took the time to read the dissenting opinions. I know you did your homework. So just give me like your quick take on what these dissenting opinions are. What was it that the justices were trying to say in their opinions?
So the dissents are basically saying that that is ridiculous to suggest that the government has to address any sort of reliance interest or like justify their decision in that way, because essentially it can be terminated by the executive branch and they don't need to go into that. So they are essentially saying that, I mean, the dissents are essentially discussing the ways that the administration should have the power to do what they want in this case.
Laura, I want to thank you so much for breaking down the dissenting opinions, because it also helps listeners understand and contextualize just how the decision was made, right? This wasn't a landslide decision where you had all of the justices on the same side. No, you actually have four justices who believe and who state publicly in their opinion that the administration was well within its rights to end this program.
I mean, this is a very close decision, and like, had Roberts gone the other way, it would have gone the other way. It really turns on Roberts, and I mean, this is why it's a surprise, because of course, it turns on Roberts siding with the liberal members of the court, and it's definitely a close decision, and it ended up turning on this minutia of administrative law ultimately. Now, whether there's some other motivation and whether there's like sort of like politics involved, not politics per se, but whether there was an issue of not wanting to come down against Dreamers on Roberts' end, or to make this kind of what would be considered a very unpopular result, is another issue that we don't know, right? Because we don't know what's in their minds. This decision doesn't address that. That's not how the Supreme Court works. They're making a decision based on rules and laws and again, minutia. But I mean, is it possible that that played a role in this? I mean, sure. You know, these are huge. This is like for Justice Roberts, this is a huge decision. It's going to have a huge impact, not only on people and, you know, actual, you know, people that live in America and immigrant issues and all this sort of things. And also, you know, it's something that is just obviously a hot topic, and it comes into the election and the, you know, just the Trump rhetoric and all of these things. So, I mean, we can't speculate, of course, on like whether that plays a role in his decision on this case. But I mean, it's something that's obviously being discussed.
Laura, I want to ask you about legislative action, because I was talking to a couple of Dreamers yesterday, and one thing that really surprised me was that I didn't know is that a bill passed in the House of Representatives. It turns out that that bill that would provide more clarity, more security for DACA recipients is just sitting on Mitch McConnell's desk.
So last year in June 2019, the House did pass a bill that would provide a path to citizenship for, generally speaking, the DACA population. It's some version of that. Yes, and so that bill has been sitting there without being taken up by the Senate for a year now. And this is not surprising per se, because the House, of course, is has a majority, you know, Democrat majority since 2018, and the Senate with a Republican majority is just unwilling to basically entertain any immigration bill that until they supposedly have the level of enforcement that they want. Also, this has been the situation for years and years now, is that these bills come up and maybe one, you know, body will pass the bill depending on who's in the majority at that time, and then the other one will say, well, we need this and this things to, in order to bring this to even a debate or anything like that. And they want to trade. They want to trade for DACA or for a Dream Act type thing. But it just has fallen apart over and over again.
I had a person that I spoke to yesterday refer to it as a Netflix subscription. Like you apply, you get renewed, but it's just a lot more expensive.
Yes. I mean, DACA is very expensive for people. I mean, every 2 years you have to pay $495 for your renewal just to the government. And then whatever you're paying, if you're paying an attorney or someone to help you with the renewal. Now, the renewal is not a super complicated process for most people, so that's not extremely expensive. But there's, I mean, people are still easily paying. I mean, I guess I don't want to comment on legal fees, but just like people are easily paying somewhere between $500 and $1,000 every time they're renewing this, easily, sometimes more. But I mean, there's just a lot of uncertainty. And yeah, like this program is expensive, obviously, for people to be in and to operate in. And it's also stressful because, I mean, just as an example, like, you know, some people, I mean, you get your permit and you're doing your life. And like, I had a person who contacted me maybe like 2 weeks ago and didn't realize until they work for a major hospital here in Milwaukee. And just didn't realize that her permit was expiring like really soon. Like she got an email from her employer because she hadn't, you know, saying like your permit's about to run out. And she like was in a rush. And of course, just like it's extremely stressful. And I mean, you know, it's not an irresponsible thing because it's like you're working, you have, you know, in many cases, the people have their full lives and they're, you know, it's just like, as a, you know, if your driver's license expires or your passport expires, these are things that like happen all the time, right? And you might not realize it until you look at it and you might not look at it. And so like, but for individuals in the DACA program, I mean, you can definitely lose your job because your employer is really not allowed to keep you employed if you have expired. So it's just like really devastating consequences too in certain cases. And it's very, you know, it's a lot of hardship really for people in the program too.
Attorney Laura Fernandez, thank you so much for joining me on Lake Effect.
Thank you so much for your time.
Laura Fernandez is an immigration attorney in Milwaukee. She spoke with WUWM's Angelina Mosher-Salazar.